a call last night from Rabbi Kamenetsky. He told me that there is a guy who I know quite well, a TRS alumnus, who had a baby boy on, his wife had a baby boy on Shabbos, and that means that the bris is going to be on Yom HaKippurim. So there are all these sorts of details that have to be worked out, not the least of which is that there are not really any Moalim that live in Woodmere. So that's an issue. I think there's one Sephardi guy in the yeshiva, but they had a hard time getting a hold of him, whatever it is. So that's taka one issue, but I don't want to get into that issue right now. Let's discuss what the halacha is when you have a bris that happens on Yom HaKippurim. When exactly do you do the bris, and a number of issues. When do you do the bris? Are there any kulas for the moel in terms of the inuyim on Yom HaKippurim because he's doing a bris? And what do you do with the kos of yayin that you have at the bris? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish Chaf Aleph Seif Beis writes, Mila b'Yom HaKippurim Molin ben Yotzer l'musuf achar kriyas haTorah. So after Kriyas HaTorah, before Musaf, and the Shulchan Aruch says before Ashrei. Magen Avraham writes, the Rama adds, V'aminu glam alachar Ashrei, our minig is to do it after Ashrei, and the Magen Avraham says, no, it's not. V'yesh n'ogin lamal kodem Ashrei, that the minig is before Ashrei. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Elia Rabbin, Tavkuf Tzadi Aleph, that says that that's the ideal time to do it. And the Elia Rabbin writes, the Yoser Tov Lomel Kodem Ashrei, She'amila Snif L'Torah, Kamosh Kasav Matamosha, that it's better to do it before Ashrei, because to juxtapose the Mila with the Kriyas HaTorah, that's the best. To associate the Mila with the Kriyas HaTorah, that would be the best thing. So that's the practice, that we do it before Musaf, if you can help it. Sometimes the Moel's timing is what you have to work with, so whenever he can make it is when he can make it. Obviously not in the middle of Musaf, but if he can only make it after Musaf or something, so that's what you have to do if that's what in fact comes up. Now, in terms of the Moel himself, so typically a Moel, hopefully, washes his hands before doing a bris milah. Now there's some Moelim that will wear gloves when they do a bris milah, because that is standard surgical procedure, that anyone who's doing any sort of surgery in any sort of medical setting will typically wear a glove. Many Moelim are uncomfortable wearing gloves. They find, for whatever reason, we discussed that once a different time, about whether that's halachically problematic or not to wear gloves. But many Moelim do not wear gloves. So what do they do instead? They really scrub their hands down really well. They wash their hands very well. Are you permitted to do that on Yom Kippur? It's one of the inuyim, is that one is not allowed to wash or bathe on Yom Kippur. So the Shulchan Aruch and Taf Reish Yud Gimel Sif Tes Paskins, that a chole, even if it's a chole shein bo sakana, is allowed to bathe. And also he says, v'chein ha-rochets mishum refuah. You're allowed to be rochets for the sake of refuah, because only a rechitza shel ta'anug is asr. It's not asr to bathe on Yom Kippur, it's asr to bathe for enjoyment on Yom Kippur. That's why the Shulchan Aruch and Taf Reish Yud Gimel Seif Yud Paskins, that kala kol shoshim yom mutaris lirchutz paneha. A kala for the first 30 days after she gets married is allowed to wash her face on Yom Kippur. The Aruch HaShulchan explains why is she allowed to wash for 30 days on Yom Kippur? Kedei shalot tiskana al baila. What? Because shalot tiskana al baila, she's allowed to violate Isurim, potentially Daraisa. She's allowed to go ahead and violate Isurim of Inuyim on Yom HaKippurim. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that since the purpose of her doing so is shalot tiskana al baila, mimela, it's not called the rechitza shel tanuk. It's not called washing for enjoyment. It's called washing for the sake of shalot tiskana al baila. And therefore, in the Sefer Kovitz Halachos, Rabbi Kleinman quotes from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita that the same is true if a doctor has to deal with a chola, that when he washes, it's for health reasons. It's to make sure that it's a clean environment and that he's not going to pass any germs along. And certainly for a moel, the same would be true. So it's a davar pashut that would be the case, that a moel is allowed to wash his hands in advance of the bris milah. What about his mouth? Many moelim have the practice of doing something called mitzitza bepeh. Mitzitza bepeh was traditionally something that was assumed in the times of the Gemara to be healthy, that if they suck some of the blood out of the wound immediately after the milah, that would reduce the chance of infection or whatever it is that they were concerned about. Modern medicine does not recognize any therapeutic value of metzitza bepeh, perhaps some pitfalls of metzitza bepeh. In fact, Mori Rabbi does not like when Moalim do metzitza bepeh at all. He thinks that it's a terrible idea and that Moalim should be discouraged from doing so. But you get a Chassidish Moal, you could scream till you're blue in the face, he's doing metzitza bepeh, right? So now, if the Moal is going to do metzitza bepeh, so he's got to, he normally will rinse his mouth out before and after. Is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to rinse for the sake of the metzitza bepeh? So certainly beforehand, in order that that he shouldn't pass any disease onto the child, l'chare he would have to do a rinse that would clean out his mouth, and that's for, again, for the sake of health purposes. Now, typically speaking, when it comes to rinsing one's mouth on Yom HaKippurim, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafresh Yud Gimel Siv Dal, the Rama writes rather, Va'asr lirchutz piv b'Yom HaKippurim, you're not allowed to rinse your mouth on Yom Kippur. In Siman Tavkuf Samach Zayin, about fasts in general, the Shulchan Aruch writes that Misha Darko lirchutz piv b'shachres b'taynas tzibur, someone who rinses his mouth in the morning of a taynas tzibur, lo kasher l'me. It's not a good idea. If you have your own personal fast, you're allowed to do it as long as you spit it out right away. The Elia Rabba says, "Lanias daiti shiny b'mayim shein botam demutu l'kuli almak b'tainas tzibur." That water that has no taste is mutter even on a tainas tzibur, and he's cholik on what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, the Mishnah Brura in Sivkat Nir Aleph over there says, "B'makom tsar you're allowed to be matir rechitzas peh." B'mayim, on every tainas tzibur, just be careful to lean down so that the water doesn't go down your throat and that you spit it out right away. However, that whole discussion is talking about rinsing your mouth in the morning when you have a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. But certainly, if you have something worse than a bad taste in your mouth, if you have, then there's no discussion whatsoever. Meaning, if let's say a person vomits and they have a little bit of vomit in their mouth, so of course you're allowed to rinse that out, and that's how a number of poskim say that again, just being careful not to swallow anything, you'd be allowed to do the same. And therefore, after the metzitza, if again you have a moel who has this practice of doing the metzitza, after the metzitza he's certainly allowed to rinse his mouth, because that would be more comparable to having vomit in his mouth. What about the kos of the mila? It is always a shayla on a fast day, but in most fast days they're not as chomer as Yom HaKippurim. So for example, I know my nephew had a bris on Tisha B'Av. So my sister was within a week of having a baby, because that's what happens, right? The baby was a week old, so my sister wasn't fasted. So they had her drink from the kos. The mo'el said or whoever said the bracha of the Berpia Gafen, they then gave the kos to the only person who was able to drink. What about Yom HaKippurim, though? In Yom HaKippurim, it's not so pashut that mommy is able to drink on Yom HaKippurim. The halacha is that for the first 72 hours after having a baby, she's not allowed to fast. She has to eat and drink. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. We've pointed out in the past that Mariv Rabbi Rav Shechter is not so convinced that halacha is still nogeya, because he thinks that women, he's noticed that women seem to recuperate much more quickly nowadays, and it probably is not so dangerous if the doctor tells you as such within the first 72 hours for her to fast. But generally speaking, within the first 72 hours, a woman does not fast. But between 3 days and 7 days, it's up to her. It's up to her how she's feeling. So if she says, "I'm feeling strong enough and I'm able to fast," so then she has to fast. So what do we do with the kos shel yayin? Do you say bar pri agafin? Are you going to say a kos shel bracha? Shulchan Aruch and Taf Reish Chaf Aleph Siv Gimel says, mevarchin al amila below kos. We say bracha on the mila, no kos. But then he says, v'yesh omrim de mevarchin bekos v'nosin latino kanima. Some say you say the bracha al kos, someone's got to drink it, let the baby drink it. So you give the baby to drink the kos shel yayin v'chein noagin. Says the Taz, it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch that you don't give it to another child, that you only give it to the baby. Why not to another child? Asi l'misrach. Another child might remember that you're allowed to drink on Yom Kippur, and he's going to come to make a mistake. Magen Avram explains that we give it to the tinok hanimol, we give it to Dafka, the baby, because the whole reason we have Ti'imas Kos is that people shouldn't say that the bracha was shalol l'tzorech. So it's good enough to give even to a tiny little baby so that it doesn't look like it's absolutely shalal tzarech. Meaning really it's not shalal tzarech, but people shouldn't think it looks like it's shalal tzarech. However, the Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Gimel, Simtaf Reish Chaf Aleph, writes, V'tama ani, atu b'yicholto lasos af ma'at tinok, lishtos af ma'at tinok ben shmona? Do you think that a tinok ben shmona is able to drink wine? You know, if you've ever been at a bris, if you look closely, what the mo'el will often do is he'll stick some gauze in the wine, and he'll put the gauze in the baby's mouth, and the baby's sucking reflex, he'll suck on the gauze. But to pour like some wine down the baby's throat, not really going to work so well. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ramah says, that's our minag. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I think that nowadays, shnosen l'shar tinok, kidas bal haminhagim, dimloke and havi bizoyin lakos. We give it to some other kid. Find another child, and we give it to some other child. And in fact, in the Sefer Ashreya Ish, they quote that Rav Yashiv paskind the same way. What if the mother is taka not fasting? What if the mother says, I'm too weak and I can't fast, and therefore she doesn't have to fast? So the Mata Ephraim in Taf Reish Chaf Aleph Sifches says that im malin eitzel hayoledes vayoledes chola binyan shumutaris lechol yachlo tzia v'gam omer lashet skavi latzis b'brachaso. She should have in mind to be yotze with the bracha and then she'll drink from it. That's so long as she heard the bracha and there was no hefsek, which would mean that you would need the yoledes there. You know, people are going to yell, oh, what's she doing in the men's section, this and that. Okay, one woman could go into the men's section. It's not the end of the world. And let her be there, or do the mila in the women's section if you want, whatever you can do, but make sure that the yoledes, right by the mechitza or something, make sure the yoledes is right there. And if the yoledes is right there, then she's able to drink from the coast. The Kaf HaChaim, however, says, in Sivkatan Tov, he calls it Sivkatan Yudzayin, he always does the gematria of Tov. The Kaf HaChaim writes, Lo Shamanu Velo Re'inu Mishanag Bazeh, says, I've never heard of such a thing to give to the mother. You give to the Tinok Hanimal, because he says, I don't even know what the heter would be to give to the mother. Meaning, the mother's allowed to drink as needed. Since when does a mother who just had a baby need to drink wine? That's not at all what she needs to be putting in her system. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Alicha Shlomo in Perek Vav Sivches says that if she doesn't normally drink wine and now she's drinking because of the mitzvah, how could we allow that? How could we allow her to drink dafka for the mitzvah? It's obviously she's not drinking it for the nourishment. However, in the Sefer Kovitz Halachos, it quotes from Shmuel Kamenetsky that a Yoledes who's weak has a din of a Cholesh Yesh Basakana, so she's allowed to drink. You don't have to start keeping account of what she normally drinks, what she chooses. She's allowed to drink. So if it happens to me that wine is going to be what she drinks, so Mela, that's going to be Mutter. Not only that, in the Tshuva 7 Yisrael, he just adds that the Gemara in Ksuba Staf Samachai says that a Menika, Mosifin Lo Yayin Shayayin Yafa L'Cholav, that it's good for a nursing woman to have wine because it's good for the milk. I don't think that's current wisdom is that it's good for the milk, but that's what the Gemara says. And the Rav Yashar is also quoted as saying that you can give the Yoledes to drink from the kos as well. So these are some of the issues. Obviously, the Su'udah for the bris, you'll have to wait till after Yom HaKippurim. That's not going to happen on Yom HaKippurim, but these are some of the issues that come up with the unique situation of a milah on Yom HaKippurim.